Well, good morning, everyone. So glad that you have joined us today. My name is Leslie. I'm one of the pastors here, and I was away last week on a conference to California, and Southern California, and the weather there was so wonderful. And then I get back, I had a layover in Chicago. I'm like, what is this rain? I had like a coat on. And then as you click closer over into New York, then you're like, oh, we're back again. We're back out of the sun. But hopefully, I keep saying this every week, hopefully, you know, it's going to get warm for us, but hopefully it will. Anyways, it's so good to be with you here today. Most likely, you have this in your house, not necessarily one that looks like this or that size, but you probably do have a mirror someplace in your house. And sometimes we enjoy looking in the mirror. Other times we avoid it as much as we can. But we know that mirrors are helpful in maintaining our appearance and helping us to be functional citizens of society because we are able to present ourselves in a way that's, you know, is acceptable to those around us. Probably we're more obsessed with looking in mirrors than we would like to admit, but it's probably not necessarily out of vanity, but it's just, you know, concern about your appearance and how, you know, you can make yourself look normal, and that's perfectly normal and understandable. No judgment there. You see, in our society, attractive people have distinct advantages, anywhere from popularity to higher evaluations at work, better salaries, favored decisions, and other biases. So it's definitely a reality that we deal with. There's social pressures here in our world to look a certain way in order to be accepted. What people see and how they react to their reflection in a mirror depend on several different factors, from your age to the mood you're in, from what TV shows or movies you've been watching, magazines you've been reading, all the way down, research says, to what you had for lunch. That has so much power on how you view yourself in the mirror. Technology, too, influences our perspectives of ourselves. We now have the advantage to carry around tiny little mirrors so that we can check ourselves out, whether in, like, turn the camera around, see if you have anything stuck in your teeth before you go in for a meeting or wherever, or social media, we can check out how are we compared to those we see around us. What are they doing? How do I look? Should I post the selfie of my selfie? Oh yeah, I'm looking good. I'll go ahead and post that. You know, we're surrounded by those kinds of things. What are some thoughts that come to your mind when you see yourself in the mirror? For me, especially after growing two human beings inside of me, I have these thoughts. You know, I think of, you know, Leslie, it's time to lose weight. You know, baby fat. And then we have, you know, it's time to get rid of those love handles. And, you know, I wake up in the morning and I'm like, oh my goodness, did you even sleep? Look at your eyes. And so you look tired. How about you? What are some things that come to your mind when you look at yourself in the mirror? You can call them out to me. Gray hair. Gray hair. Less hair. Wrinkles. Maybe not you, your friend. What do they see when they look in the mirror? Too much hair. There we go. Need a haircut. You can say positive things too. There's no judgment in that. Tough, you're strong, especially those checking out those muscles. Anybody else? Anything that you, what do you think of when you see yourself in the mirror?
Blessed.
Anybody else? How about stand up straight? I tell myself that all the time as I bend over like this. There we go. Anybody else? Update your wardrobe. Update. There we go. I had someone in the first service say, where did 18 go? So we'll do that one. Selfie. Time to take a selfie because you're looking good. Yeah, there we go. What was that?
Long hair.
You got great hair. There we go. So there's several different thoughts that run through our mind when we look in the mirror. Research shows that women are more critical of their appearance than men. I know that comes as a surprise to you. But women are less likely to admire what they see in the mirror. Almost 8 out of 10 women are dissatisfied with their reflection, and more than half may see a distorted image of themselves. When men look in the mirror, ready for this? They are more likely to be either pleased with what they see or indifferent. Research shows that men generally have a much more positive body image than women. And if anything, they tend to overestimate their attractiveness. Just telling you the facts. Okay, some men can actually look into the mirror and literally not see the flaws in their appearance. No laughter on that one. Okay, so the power that a mirror holds in our life is daunting. A glance in the mirror as you walk past can change your attitude from feeling good to oof. Sometimes you just want to avoid the mirror, and because ignorance is bliss. It's better not to even know what you look like before you head out the door, because if you don't know what you look like, you must look good, right? So mirrors can build confidence or it can crush it. The same tool that sent you out the door feeling so confident and good is the same tool that when you walk back in the door and you look back in, you're thinking, oh my, what happened to you today? That's the same thing. Our perspectives change with a mirror. Well, today we're continuing our series on selfie, and I want to see how our perspective of self can change in the mirror. But the mirror that we're going to be talking about today is different than this mirror. It is described in James chapter 1. It's the mirror, capital the mirror. And so James 1, starting in verse 22, says this: do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Well, today I hope that we discover about the beauty of the Word of God and the power that that mirror has in our life. Before we continue, though, let's pray. God, we do acknowledge your presence here in the room today. We acknowledge that we all have walked in through these doors with different things circling in our minds, whether it was a good experience on the way to church or one that we were not so fond of. God, we know that everybody here in this room, God, we have come for one reason, and that is to hear from you. And so, God, I do pray that you speak to us through your Spirit. Allow us to see how we might apply your scripture and your truth to our life today. We ask in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, the book of James is full of practical wisdom for the follower of Jesus Christ. And in these verses that we just read, we see the importance of self-evaluation and adjusting our lives to the truth that we read in the Bible. And as James reminded his readers, you cannot just listen to the words of the Bible. You actually have to do what it says. And we must act on the truth that the Bible reveals to us about God. It reveals to us about other people, and it reveals to us about ourselves. We deceive ourselves, James says. We deceive ourselves if we think that it's good enough to just read the Bible, agree with what it says and then move on and not take to heart or not change, not alter what we do, think, see, say in accordance to that truth. Listening to the word, reading the word is just the beginning. It's just the start of obedience. James uses the comparison of a mirror to the word of God or to the Bible. In verse 25, he calls it the perfect law. And so that's how we know we get the reference that this mirror that he's talking about is the Bible, the word of God. And so there's two responses, though, to the mirror that we see here in James's illustration. Two responses. The first is the glancer. The glancer. Look at verses 23 and 24 again. It says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks at. The glancer takes a quick look in the mirror to see what they look like, and as quickly as they look, it's as quickly as they leave. It's as if the glance could reveal something that needs to be adjusted or changed or improved, and that person easily forgets about it because they could not even remember what needed to be done. And maybe they were too lazy or too busy, too neglectful to even put the energy into taking a longer look. The person did not want to give the effort to make more than just a glance. And so that's the glancer, that first person that James describes. In the NIV version, it says that when someone who looks at his face, the word uses in the NIV, someone, because it does apply to anyone, male or female. But if you actually look at that word that's translated here in NIV, someone, in the Greek, it actually is man. It's a man who looks at his face in the mirror, his natural face in the mirror. And I point that out simply because James was purposeful in why he said man. And he did that because a man was probably one who could likely give a glance at himself in the mirror and then move on. And even if a change needed to take place. Because if James knew women, probably the same back then as it is now, if they gave a glance in the mirror and saw something that needed to be changed, hair out of place, little makeup here, they would have done something about it, whether it was a quick glance or not. So he was very purposeful in saying, a man. It's funny how things don't change after thousands of years based on research. We could have just gone right there. So anyways, people rarely had mirrors in James's day. We take it for granted, these mirrors. And so the people then, they rarely got to see what they looked like. It was easy to forget their own appearance. James uses this illustration not to describe the importance of proper mirror use, but James' point is this. Just as people easily forget what they look like when they so rarely have access to mirrors, Christians also easily forget the word they hear when they fail to put it into practice. Just as people easily forget what they look like when they so rarely have access to mirrors, Christians also easily forget the word they hear when they fail to put it into practice. You see, a glance in the mirror of God's word is not sufficient enough for change. A medical study recently revealed just how difficult change is for people. Roughly, probably more now, of more than 600,000 people have heart bypasses in America, in a year in America. These people are told that after their bypasses, they must change their lifestyle. The heart bypass is just a temporary fix. And so they must change their diet. They must quit smoking, drinking, exercise, and then reduce their stress. In essence, the doctors are saying, change or die. You would think that this near-death experience would forever grab the attention of the patients, and they would, you know, be so excited for the change, they would vote for the change, they would go for the change. You would think that argument of change or die would be compelling enough that they would make the appropriate lifestyle alterations, but sadly, that is not the case. The study says that 90% of the heart patients do not change. They remain the same, living the status quo. Study after study indicates that 2 years after heart surgeries, the patients have not altered their behavior, which could lead to longer life. Change is that difficult. The majority of the heart patients chose not to change. They acted as if they would rather die than change. Those patients gave a glance, they gave a nod, they gave a okay, to their doctor's instructions, but did nothing about it. They placed themselves, therefore, in a very dangerous position. In the same way, to only give a glance, to only give a nod, only give a short listen to the Word of God and to the instructions found in the Bible and do nothing about it to change your life, your thinking, your attitude, your actions, you're in a dangerous position as well. You set yourself up for a less than desired life God has for you. The glancer is the response that we do not want to have, in case you didn't pick up on that. We do not want to just glance. We want to have this next response that James describes to the mirror. The gazer. The gazer. Look again at verse 25. It says, "But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." If we found someone gazing at himself or herself in the mirror, we would probably think, one, they're stuck on themselves, they're vain, they're narcissistic. You know, we have a lot of descriptions if we just found someone staring at themselves in the mirror. But the gazer that's described here by James is one who has this word in the Greek means to stoop down, get close, and look intently into the mirror. Take a good look at themselves in the mirror of God's word. They've looked intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, as James describes it, and they made adjustments accordingly. They have looked intently into the word of God and not just listen or didn't just read the words. They actually put the message into practice. They understood the areas in which they should change and then align themselves more closely to those teachings. That's the kind of response that we need to have as we look into the Word of God. That kind of response is the key to spiritual strength and continued growth and maturity. My sister-in-law, Jenna, my husband Sean just has one sister, and so Jenna, she lives over in South Africa, loves it there, and she was a dancer. She danced all through her years. However, how many years that is, I don't know, but her years. And she enjoyed it. She loved it. My husband can recall many a memories of watching her dance. Imagine a boy having to sit there and watch a dance recital. I'm sure he was so excited. And he had to do that. He only found it advantageous when he hit middle school, high school, when he got the free chance to be around so many girls. He loved that part. But that's the only time I think he actually enjoyed the dancing time. But if you're familiar with dancing, you know that inside studios, there are mirrors all around, like the rehearsal rooms, whether one side, two side, there's mirrors in those rooms. And these mirrors help because the dancer is able to see exactly what they're doing as they're practicing. They're able to look at themselves. Jenna told me that she was able to see if she was getting a particular stance or moves right or wrong, and what she needed to do to fix it. And she said that you notice it more as you look at yourself in the mirror than if someone was just to come alongside and say that you need to do this, 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 and this. She noticed it more as she gazed at herself in the mirror. You see, when you use the Bible as your mirror in life, you can see where you are getting obedience right and where you still need to make a change or an alteration. You can see where you need those improvements, where you need more patience, respect, kindness, love, and the list goes on and on and on. You realize how your attitudes towards your spouse, a friend, a boss, your child need to adjust in order to match the ways that Jesus wants you to live. A dancer looks intently at themselves in order to make the necessary changes. They want to be corrected by studying their form and technique because that allows the dance or that allows the performance to go as it was designed. It was made to. It leads to the best possible dance. When I look into the Bible with the intention of obedience, I become reminded of the actions and attitudes that I should have. When I was single, I struggled a lot with self-worth. I attached being in a serious relationship as equal to importance or equal to value. I had thoughts that something must be wrong with me if I'm still in this relationship status. I have many times found myself in a spiral of thoughts that were not reflecting the way that God viewed me. And one weekend, I was away to finish some classwork I had for my master's program, and I was back in that hole again of thinking about myself and my self-worth and everything else as it was spinning almost out of control of how I was viewing myself. And so I took the intention to look into the mirror of God's word to see, what does God say about this? How do I need to adjust and realign my thinking? And God brought these words to mind. Brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. My mind and my thoughts were not any of those. And so I had to take captive every thought that kind of slipped in there and try to tell me that there was something wrong with me or anything else in regards to that way of thinking. I had to say, no, that is not true. That is not noble. That is not excellent or praiseworthy. And I had to, it's not easy, because you had to take it and say, I'm not going to dwell on that and think on that. It doesn't mean that those thoughts aren't going to slip through your mind. It means that when they do, you say, no, that's not who I am. That's not what I'm going to think about. And you push it out. You don't dwell on those thoughts. When Sean calls to say he's going to be home later than expected, and I've been working in the office, and then I've come home and been with the kids all day, and I'm tired, I don't want to be in charge anymore, I have to think about my reflection in the mirror of God's word of what I am supposed to do and be. And I'm reminded that I need to be patient. I'm reminded of what Jesus said of how to treat other people. He says, you treat others the way that you want to be treated. And I know how I want to be treated when that situation, when the shoe's on the other foot. I want to be treated with patience. I want to be how I want to be talked to on the phone, how I want to be responded to when I walk through the door late. I know that. And so that is when I'm looking in that mirror of God's word, and I know in which the way that I need to respond. It's not always an easy choice. So many times we just fall back on saying, well, this is just the way that I am, or these are just the thoughts that I have, or I can't stop this from coming, or if my spouse would just do this, or if my boss would just respect me and give me this and that, and if this person or that thing would fall into place, then I could do what the Bible tells me to do, or what it tells me I should, be thinking about or talking about, or all those kinds of things. But that's wrong. You look intently into the mirror and you see where you lack. That means, side note, it requires you to look into the Bible, requires you to read it, requires you to hear it. You look intently into the mirror and see where you lack. Then you ask the Holy Spirit, through the power of the Spirit, to come and begin a work in you. You're not stuck. You're not hopeless. You're not full of shame or guilt. Look into the mirror and see where you need to wipe off the dirt on your face. You might be stuck on a little bit more than other places or other people. That's okay. You can do it when you walk in obedience to God and His word through the power of the Spirit. To look intently into the Bible and to follow what it says, to make those corrections needed and to take steps of obedience, it's hard, it's uncomfortable, it's time consuming. But it makes for the best possible dance of life. God has outlined the way in which we're to live. Know it, follow it, live it, obey it. In those verses of James, James describes the word of God as the law that gives freedom. Law, freedom. Law, freedom. Doesn't really seem to go together. In fact, those words seem to be completely opposite. But not so with God. The word of God, the law, is freeing. John 8 records Jesus' words in saying this, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Freedom does not mean the absence of constraints or moral absolutes. Picture a skydiver up at 10,000 feet announces to the group, "I'm not using my parachute anymore. I'm going to be free." Okay. In steps a law known as gravity, you know. So they're going to not experience the freedom that they want to enjoy as they jump out of that airplane. The fact is that skydiver needs to choose the constraint of the parachute. And then she is free, or he is free, to enjoy that exhilaration. God's morals laws act the same way. They restrain, but they are absolutely necessary in order to enjoy the exhilaration of real freedom. God's word is freedom. Freeing. James wrote that the one who obeys the law of freedom is blessed in what he does. Many times the word blessed is equated with a happy or fortunate. And James is saying that if you want to be happy, not in that everything is going to make you happy, you're not going to be smiling all the time, everything's not going to always be good in your life. That's not what he's talking about. James is saying that if you want to be happy or fulfilled in your life, you will hear the word of God, the truth about God, the truth about you, and you will put how the Bible calls you to live into practice. You find fulfillment and purpose and meaning and worth when you do what you've heard, what you've read in the Bible. So live according to the word of God and see what exhilaration and freedom you will experience in your life. You might not always feel good. You might not always be comfortable in life, but you will experience a life full of meaning and purpose. You know, so often we wait for something to happen to us, some great spiritual experience to take place and transform our lives and have us going on the right path of doing what we need to do. But the Bible's clear in that we have to take responsibility for our actions and for our responses. We're charged with committing to making the changes necessary by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the important work that we must address in our lives, seeing the steps of obedience to God and his word and then making those necessary changes. It's kind of like the witch doctor who saw herself in a mirror that a missionary owned, and the figure before her as she looked in that mirror was so hideous that she jumped back from it. Well, immediately she began to bargain with the missionary and saying, "I have to have this mirror." And so realizing that the witch doctor was not going to take no for an answer, she wasn't going to back down, the missionary finally agreed to make a deal, bargain with her, and to give her the mirror. Well, no sooner than the bargain, the transaction happened, the witch doctor, she took the mirror and then threw it to the ground. Confused the missionary, and he said, "Well, why did you do that?" And the woman replied, "Well, now it won't be making ugly faces at me anymore." You see, the Bible reveals our ugliness to us, but the ugliness does not go away by us throwing the Bible on the ground or ignoring the Bible. It only goes away as we take steps of obedience to follow God and his word. James charges us to do just that, to look into the mirror, to gaze into the mirror of God's word, and through the Holy Spirit, get rid of those blemishes and correct your way of living and correct your way of thinking. In dance rehearsals, you typically are with other dancers in the room. And so I asked Jenna, I said, "Jenna, is this kind of like distracting, you know, to have other people in the room looking at the same mirrors? Don't you want to just look at them and see what they're doing?" She says, it's not distracting at all, because what you need to do is you have to, as a dancer, look at yourself and not look at those around you. You have to study intently your moves and your technique and the way that your stance, the way that you need to adjust and align and to go in whatever the instructor says. She said, you look at yourself and yourself only. If you take your eyes off of what you're doing, then you miss out and you get distracted and you'll mess up the dance, you'll not become the dancer, the performer that you need to be in order to have the dance work out. She said that you have to focus on yourself. You see, too easily we become distracted by others around us. We start to look in the mirror of God's word and think, I wonder if God's telling them to do that. Nudge, nudge. Or we start to think, I wonder what God is, you know, God's telling them they need to do this through his word. Well, then maybe I need to do that. Or this or that. But the truth is, when you look into the mirror of God's word, you look for yourself. And you look to see how you need to adjust, align, critique, and change your stance, your thoughts, your actions. Don't be worried about everybody else. That's God's job, not yours. What God is revealing in one person's life is not the same as he is revealing to you. Don't focus on others. We can learn from others, that's for sure. But do not focus on others and what they need to do or what changes they're making. So there's two kinds of responses to the mirror of God's word. The glancer, which we don't want to be, and the gazer. But there's actually one other person here with the mirror. This person doesn't need to look at his reflection and see what changes need to take place. Rather, this person is the exact reflection of the word of God. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus is the word of God. John 1:1 makes that very clear to us in saying that in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Jesus is the reflection that the word of God presents. If you want to know what it looks like to fully reflect what God wants us to do through his word, look at Jesus. That really is our mission, to look more and more like Jesus to our world today. That is how we reflect the word of God. We reflect Jesus. We don't have to wonder what it looks like to follow God here on earth, because we have the example of Jesus. He did just that. Scripture says that we are actually his image bearers. In 2 Corinthians, it says, we all are being transformed into his image. Too often, though, we're so focused on this image and what the world says of us or what we say of us. We ignore what the word of God says about us. It says that you are a child of God and that you are his image bearer. This is what the word of God says about you. He says that you're complete. You're fearless. You're free. You're holy. You have the mind of Christ. It says you are his temple. Scripture says that you are a new creation. Oops. It says that you are a child of God. The Bible says that you are his ambassador. That you are a light in the darkness. That you are greatly loved. And that it is not you, it's Christ. That's just a small picture, reflection of what God says about you, what his word says about you. So easily we focus on these words and not those. Which mirror would you rather live with? Which mirror would you rather look in? You will look intently into the word of God and you see the image that you were designed to reflect. You were made to be like Jesus. As long as you define your identity by people who are very fickle, who determine one thing at the beginning of the week and have changed their mind at the end, if you determine your self-worth by then, you will have a very fragile self-identity. But the one who gives freedom through his word, through his law, is calling you to reflect his image, to reflect Jesus. We're not gazing into the mirror of God's word simply so others will look at us and say, aren't they such a nice person? They're so good. They do good things. That's not what we're pursuing. We're not making adjustments to our lives and working on changing and our behaviors and our attitudes and thoughts so that we feel good about ourselves. We're striving to adjust and change and transform so that others will see Jesus. We want others to meet Jesus. Would you close your eyes now in an attitude of prayer and contemplation and consider these questions? Which mirror are you focused on today? Which mirror are you focused on today? The mirror of God's word is the place that you find freedom to live as you were designed. Choose God's word. Are you glancing at the word of God, or are you glancing? Are you not just listening and reading the Bible, but are you actually putting it into practice, the truth that you found within? Are you gazing? Are you reflecting Jesus? As you look in the mirror, are you reflecting Jesus? Do you see Jesus in you? Are you reflecting back to others what God says of you in His Word? Not only do you see Jesus in you, do others see Jesus in you? Are you reflecting the image of Jesus? You have to obey the words of God in order to reflect the words of God. Scripture says that we are the image bearer of Jesus. Our job is to reflect Jesus to our world. You can't do that if you're constantly looking in a mirror that tells you that you're worthless. You're not good enough, not pretty enough, not skinny enough. You fill in the blank. You're His image bearer. He created you, He made you, He loves you, and designed you with a purpose. Just because we're the image bearers of Jesus doesn't mean we're perfect now, though. Doesn't mean that we are reflecting that image beautifully as we should. That perfect reflection only belongs to Jesus. We're definitely not there yet. And that's why we need to look intently, to stoop down and look into the Bible, into His words, into His truth, and do something about what we read and hear. Because we're on the journey of becoming what Jesus has already obtained for us. God, we do thank You that we are free in You, that Your law comes and gives us freedom to live an exhilarating, purposeful, full of life. We acknowledge that so many times we focus in on the mirror of self and what we bring to the table and what others think of us, and whether it's exciting at times or depressing at times, we so easily focus on that mirror instead of the mirror of Your word that tells us where we need to adjust and take steps of faith. The mirror that tells us who we are as Your daughters and Your sons. The mirror that tells us that we are Jesus's image bearers to a world that so desperately needs to see Jesus. A world that so desperately needs to know that You love them. God, come teach us, show us how to reflect You, Jesus. We pray all this all in Your name. Amen. Amen.